you. Thank you. Praise God. The Lord is good. Hallelujah. Can't wait to see what the dear God of heaven is going to do. Let me try to get to the message and to the Word of God. And I can just kind of talk a little bit always before I preach. My wife told me if you'll cut out all that talking before you preach, you wouldn't preach as long. And I said, well, you don't know me. I said, I'd add it at the end of it. So let's look at Revelation chapter 5, verse number 1. I want to read 10 verses of scripture to you. And I know that most of you know this, that numbers in the Bible mean something. The number 10 is a number of dominion. And God's going to give us dominion over some things tonight in this service. He's going to resurrect some words that have been spoken over this church and over this region. And he's going to start activating those things. They're going to start working again. You're going to start seeing things that you've seen in the past operate in this church. Are going to not saying there's anything wrong here, but you're just going to start seeing some things fresh, something that God has done before, start doing it again. And a new anointing and fresh anointings coming into this place. Not because I'm here, but because the timing, God, the day we're living in, and if God can find just a few people tonight that will believe him and have faith, and God can start doing these things in this sanctuary. There is a prophetic word over this church that God put over this church. He didn't put over any other church, and it's over this church. Maybe they've got a different word over their church, but there's a prophetic word over this church. And God is going to activate that word tonight. It's going to start working in this church and around this church. How many believe that God can give us revival in this day? God's not wore out. He's still got a plan, don't he? He's not confused. He's not worried. He's not sweating anything. No, he's not. He's as calm and full of power that he's ever been. 10 verses, 10 being the number of great dominion. And God's going to give us great dominion in this place. If God don't give it, we can't get it. But if God will give it, I'm going to be waiting on it. I'm going to be expecting it. I'm going to be standing there waiting on the Lord tonight to say, right now, if you'll just reach out and believe, you can have this dominion. And I'm going to be right there at the place that God wants me to be to receive dominion from the Lord. I'm reading from Revelation chapter number 5 and verse number 1. I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside and sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. That's why I say tonight and every time I preach, to God be the glory for everything. Because nobody can do what God does. No man can produce it, nor organization can produce it, nor corporation or CEO can get it done. What God does, he does because he's God and nobody else can do it but him. No man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. I wept much because no man was found worthy to open, to read the book, neither to look thereon. One of the elders saith to me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And those are the 7 characteristics of God found in Isaiah 11 verse 1 and 2. He took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. When he had taken the book, the 4 beasts, the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Verse number 10. Hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Not in heaven, but on the earth. There's going to be power and authority, and there's going to be miracles and signs and wonders here on the earth. There's going to be great things going on here on the earth. We're a people we've got too much information about all the bad stuff. And we're not hearing enough good stuff. And anytime you hear more bad than good, you're not going to think more good than bad. You're going to think negative and bad. And there's never been a problem God couldn't figure out. There's not a disease he can't heal. There's not a financial woe that he can't bless. That's just the way it is. He is omnipresent, omniscient, has all power. That's who our God is. He's never changed. He's still the same. But he's a faith God. He operates by faith. And that's why it says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And he that comes to God must believe that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You got to put your faith to work. You got to put your faith to action. And I believe that's what God's going to do tonight. Let's pray together. Jesus, help us tonight to do everything you want us to do. Lord, let there be no resistance left in me tonight. If there is, then God, get it out of the way and move it so that I can just, at one little whim of your spirit, I can just obey it without fear or worrying about anything that's going to happen. I ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody say, in Jesus' name. And you may be seated in the name of the Lord. God's going to do some great things in this place tonight. I told you this morning, and you that weren't here this morning, I'll repeat a few things. Last night, I don't dream Holy Ghost dreams every night. I'm not one. I've interpreted a few dreams, and some of my dreams have been interpreted by the Holy Ghost. But, you know, it's not my forte. It's not what I do going around trying to interpret everybody's dreams. And the last man did that. Was put in jail in the Bible. But I had a dream last night. In that dream, it was Ezekiel 37. And it was not some weird, stupid dream. I was preaching and I was speaking to those dry bones of Ezekiel 37. And I saw those bones rising up. And I saw everything that's written there in Ezekiel. And, of course, we know that prophecy is about Israel. It's about the regathering of Israel, 1948, becoming a nation. And not just 48, but the continuation of Israel. Now, I can tell you this right now. You could mark it down. There's not enough Arab nations. There's not enough armies of the north, Russians. There's not enough multi-million man armies of China east coming through the Euphrates River that will ever tear that land away from Israel ever again. And it was prophesied they would return to that land and they would become a mighty nation again. And they are the only nation on the face of the earth today that the enemies of God fear. The United States is not the great fearful nation that it once was. Because we're more about talking and more about worried about what everybody's going to think about us. I'll tell you, the church would never get anywhere if we were worried about what denominations would think about us. Worried about what somebody down the road would think about us. We better think about what God's going to think about us. I'm like the man in the Bible. I'd rather obey God than obey man. And that's just been a theme in my spirit, in my heart. Not being rebellious, but just trying my best to obey the Lord all my life. To follow God, to do what he wants me to do. But we're living in a time and a generation and a political environment where it is quickly, faster than I ever dreamed it would ever happen, that our government is turning tail and running and afraid to face the enemies of God. They're afraid to talk about God, afraid of a handful of people in the United States that might riot or picket. I say let them riot and picket till their gums fall out. It doesn't bother me a bit. It's never stopped me. It's never stopped you. Hooey to the devil if he don't like what we're doing and he don't believe in what we're doing. Hooey to the world if they don't care about what we're doing, how we praise God, how we worship God. It's none of the devil's business. If I want to shout all night long and dance in the spirit and speak the name of Jesus, one day they're going to come looking for us. But we're living in that kind of environment. And God wants us to be strong. And it's not easy to be strong today. Because we've got so much rhetoric going on. And so many things are happening around us. And our world is spinning so very fast. I told you, and you can mark it down, that God said he will not permit this Laodicea Apostolic Church of Houston to go out and build their sanctuaries and their congregations and water down the truth of God and exclude the glory of God, the name of Jesus and holiness. He's not going to let them do it. It's not going to happen. They may have gotten by so far, but God told me a couple of weeks ago he's sending a spiritual notice out to Houston, Texas, and he's looking for churches that believe the apostolic doctrine to give fire, Holy Ghost miracles, signs and wonders. There's nothing that'll whip the devil like a miracle. There's nothing that'll shut the agnostic up like a miracle. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you tonight, I'm just getting all, whew, I'm sorry. I'm just getting, woohoo, hallelujah. I'm raring up here, praise God. I'm kind of like my horse. I got one horse, he just rares up and ready to go. The other one just kind of goes, he doesn't rare much. But I got one that just is biting at the bits. And I mean, when I get on him, he's ready to go. And I love it, and I let him go. Yeah, he usually slows down after a while, but he's raring at first. And I feel it tonight. I just feel like it's time to just let the devil know once and for all. There is a church and a God in this Houston metro that believes in the supernatural. There's nothing going to happen tonight that hadn't happened a million zillion times before. So relax. I'm not going to do something new tonight just because it hadn't happened. I kind of laugh. I was at this church the other day and they brought some of the old songs out and was singing some of the old songs. I heard some of the young people say, wow, where'd that one come from? That's a new one. Who wrote that one? I want to say G.T. Haywood about 5,000 years ago. Hallelujah. But, you know, it's funny. They just hadn't heard them. And when they hear them, it blows their minds. And people see things that Pentecost apostolics have been experiencing all their life, and they just think that's brand new. They've just never seen nothing like that. I remember the day that Verbal Being called me into the supernatural. I was walking down the hallway on the outside of an auditorium, and Verbal Being was inside preaching. I'd never met Verbal Being. He'd never met me. And I was just a kid, young preacher, real skinny. Man, I look good. I was real skinny. I think I weighed about 115. My. I could turn sideways. The devil couldn't find me. I was so skinny. And I was walking down that hallway and I heard Brother Bean preaching on the inside. And I stood at that door. And the door that would come in close to the front. And I just didn't know if I should open the door and walk in. All of a sudden, Brother Bean, whom I'd never met before, said, Brother Winslow, come on in. And I opened that door up and I walked inside that auditorium and he said, Brother Winslow, you're not supposed to be over there. You're supposed to be over here. And I knew exactly what that meant. That was not a place. That was not a physical place. It was a spiritual place. Because so many of the people around me were telling me, you don't want to walk in the gifts. You don't want to walk in that supernatural stuff. You want to stick to Acts 2:38 and tithing and offering and prayer and that's it and go no further than that. And Brother Bean was letting me know, no, sir, that's not what you're called to do. You're called to obey God, to walk in the supernatural, to use the power of the name of Jesus, to fight the enemy, to combat demons, to bind cancers and release the supernatural. Oh, my God, there's somebody in this place tonight that's going to walk out of this place with the power of the name of Jesus operating in your life. You've got to get an attitude about this. You can't just say, well, if it happens, it happens. And, well, let's just believe anything. You need to get that book out and read it and believe it and act on it and say, this is what the book says, and walk in the Holy Ghost. And so I left out of that service, and I made my mind up. I'm going to try to find the Lord. I'm going to try to obey God the best I can. I'll be honest with you. I really didn't understand exactly what Brother Bean was telling me. But I was in this store. I worked in a grocery store at that time. And I was a very young man. And I was just starting to preach a little bit. And everybody was giving me advice. And I just started operating in the gifts of the Spirit. I mean, they would just come one every three or four services. And it would be so faint and so hard to understand. And I would obey it. And then I had so many people, as soon as I started obeying, I started testifying, telling people of what had happened. I talked about a visitation from an angel. Oh, my God, I was avalanched by doubters and powders and stinking thinkers. Oh, man. Oh, don't ever tell anybody you saw an angel. And I said, well, don't get upset, but I'm married to one. I see her every day. But so I just kind of was, that's when Brother Bean got a hold of me and said, no, you're supposed to be here. You're not supposed to be over there. And that's when I made my mind up. Somehow I got to find my way through this. I've got to seek God. I've got to pray. I've got to find the mind of God. I met the wife of Joe Duke. They used to nickname him Blind Joe Duke. Walked in the supernatural. And she would tell me story after story after story after story of the supernatural power of the Holy Ghost. And then one day, God spoke to me and told me, get in my car, and I drove 800 miles to a place in Idaho. I'd never been there in my life. I just went at the voice of God. I showed up at this church. I mean, got there that just right there after church had started. Drove 800 miles to get there. Got there just after church had started. Walked in the building. The usher wanted me to write my name down. I said, no, I'm not filling no cards out. I said to myself, I'm going in here. Nobody knows me, knows where I'm from. I'm going to just, what is going on? Why did God send me here? I said, if you don't mind, I don't want to put, he said, that's fine. You don't have to write your name down. So I went there and I sat down. Preacher got up, began to preach. And after a few moments of struggling and trying to preach and frustrated, trying to start over and over, just trying to find what he was supposed to be doing, he just stopped and said, let's all pray and let's just, I don't know what's going on here. And after a few minutes, he looked at me and he said, can I pray for you? I just feel like I'm supposed to pray for you. Everything is stopping me and just seemed like the Lord is impressing me to pray for you. He said, who are you? I said, I'm nobody. He said, well, come on up here and let me pray for you. And I was standing there. I didn't know any more than he knew about what God wanted to do. But I stood there, and then he got ready to pray for me, and he stopped, and he looked at me, and he said, this has never happened to me before in my life. He said, who is Gordon? I said, that's me. That's my name. He said, oh, my goodness. I don't even know what to do with that. And he said, well, let's pray for you. He stopped, and he looked at me, and he said, do you have any pain or problems in the lower part of your abdomen right here? And I said, I do. I said, I ruptured myself there. I have a protruding muscle that pops out of there. And sometimes I have to lay on the floor for 2 hours to push it back in. And the skin is pulled back. It wasn't open, gapping open, but it was pulled, a stretch mark, where it had been pulling there at that place. He said, well, I believe God's going to heal you there. And he said, lift your hands, I'm going to pray for you. And so I lifted my hands up, and he stopped and looked at me, and he said, are you having any problems in your back? And I said, yes, sir, I am. I said, every couple of hours, I said, I drove up here, and every couple of hours, I can't drive very far. I have to get out. My legs go numb. Pain shoots up in my back. I injured that years ago in a paper mill. I was working in a paper mill. I used to pick up these heavy metal shafts that you roll paper up with. He said, I believe God wants to heal your back. He said, let's pray. And he started to stretch his hand out. And he stopped and he said, I don't know. Do you have any problems in your hearing? And I said, I have a roaring sound in my ear and I have mid-tone deafness from the sound of the machines in that paper mill. I'd work 18 hours a day. Walk out of there, my ears would ring for hours. And I had some damage in some of my hearing. I could hear, but I had damage in there. I still feign that every now and then when my wife tells me to take the garbage out. I just kind of feign that little problem, you know. Oh, I can't hear that. Be back in a minute. You know, selective hearing. And I told the man, he said, I believe God's going to heal that. He laid his hand on my head. And when he did, the voice of God spoke to me. In those days, the voice of God didn't speak very much to me. But when it did, I knew it was the voice of God. I've never doubted the voice of God. every time I've ever heard it. And God spoke to me and he said, you'll do this. You'll pray for the sick. You'll hear my voice. I'll show you things. I'll make you a seer. Whatever you see, I'll do. And that preacher at the same time laid hands on me. Out I went. I hit the floor. I was there 45 minutes. They tried to pick me up. And finally, some of the preachers in the building said, leave him alone. He can't stand. And they just pulled me over the side, left me laying there. And 45 minutes, I laid there in the power of the supernatural. I got up from there, and the Lord said, get in your car and go home. It's done. It's over. And I drove the 800 miles going back home. Well, as soon as I got out of that building that night, immediately I felt my abdomen and that protruding area was gone. I pulled over, went in the restroom, and I checked. I looked at it, and the mark, the tear was completely gone. And I've never had not one more time have I ever had that rupture or that burning or that protruding place coming out of my abdomen. You'll never convince me this is not real. You can say what you want to say tonight and walk out of this building doubting as much as you want to doubt, but I'll never do it. I don't care if he never heals me another time. I won't doubt it. So I felt immediately my back was healed. Because this was healed, but within an hour or so, my back started hurting like it hurt when I drove up there. I scratched my head. I couldn't understand that. There will be so many things that you won't understand that you had better get a hold of God and get some trust in your faith. It's not enough to have faith. You've got to have some trust in your faith. To where no matter what happens, no matter when it happens or how you feel about it, you just believe God, you trust God, you know it's going to be all right. And let him bring it to pass. Part of faith is trust. Everything's not instant, folks. Some things happen in time. And so I said, God, I don't get it. My back's not healed. I don't understand that. I still had the sound in my ear. I still had that mid-tone deafness. Driving home. I got home, and the next day I got up and everything was still just like everything. I was healed here, but the other wasn't healed. On the third day, I got in my car and I was driving several hundred miles. And in my drive, I finally realized after a few minutes, my leg wasn't hurting, my back wasn't hurting. And I'd been driving about 2 or 3 hours. And so I watched it and not any more pain in my back. I got in my car and drove 5 hours over here. I drive sometimes 14, 15, 16 hours somewhere. God healed my back on that third day. But all I could do, I was just like everybody else, had stinking thinking. All I could do instead of rejoicing is tell God, why didn't you do that on the first day? Now isn't that just like a bunch of stinking apostolics? You finally get it, but all you can say to God is, why didn't you do it sooner? Instead of letting your faith stretch out and stretch it past a day, some of you don't have 15-minute faith. If faith only lasts 15 minutes, I'm going to tell you, if you're going to see the supernatural, if you're going to see revival in this hour, you're going to have faith that can last longer than 15 minutes. So the Lord didn't answer me. He didn't tell me. He wouldn't tell me anything. So here I am. I've got one miracle instantly. I got one miracle 3 days later. But I still have that problem in my ear. And so the fourth day goes by. The fifth day goes by. The sixth day goes by. The seventh day. I'm on the seventh day. Now God didn't prophesy and say the seventh day, so I wasn't looking. But on the seventh day, I'm driving down the road, and my kids said to me, Dad, can you turn that tape player down? And I turned it down, and all of a sudden something dawned on me. They told me to turn it down. Wow. What's going on here? And so I started testing it. I said, tell me when you can hear it real good.
And so every time I could hear it, way before they could hear it, I started testing my hearing, and all of a sudden that noise was gone, and I could hear as good as anybody else anywhere. I could hear things that nobody else could hear. I started hearing stuff. I just tell my wife, "What was you whispering about in here?" She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, you were saying something about my dog. What was you saying? How did you hear that?" I said, "I don't know. Maybe God's healed me. Something's going on here. I can hear stuff." And on that seventh day, God healed my hearing. It was 3 or 4 days later. Now, every day I was asking God, "What's going on?" Instead of jumping and shouting, "Oh, my God, my abdomen's healed. My hearing's healed. My back's healed." All I could do was say, "What's going on? Why didn't you do it all up there in Idaho?" You see how we are? And the Lord spoke to him after a few days, and he said, "I healed you in steps, because you're going to be used of me, and I'm going to let you pray for people, and some are going to be healed instantly, and some are going to be healed on the third day, and some are going to be healed on the seventh day." And he said, "I want you to have the ability to understand that and to tell them to have the kind of faith that doesn't let go, that doesn't give up. All of you didn't get the Holy Ghost on the first night you came to church, but you didn't get any less than anybody else. And you kept believing, and you kept believing, and God filled you with the Holy Ghost, and it was powerful, and it was real, and it's kept you just like those that got it the first time." God knows how to stretch our faith. And I've seen people healed instantly. I've seen cancers fall off people's face. I pray for this little black lady, 4'11", in Louisiana. And God was speaking to me about her, and he said, "I want you to pray for her. She has a blockage in her intestines." And so I called her out, and she was in pain. And I said, "You've got something going on inside your intestines down here." I said, "Your bowels are blocked, aren't they?" And she nodded her head. She was in pain. And I said, "Wait a minute. I see it. You've got a huge tumor in your abdomen, and it's closed off your intestines." I said, "Are you scheduled for surgery?" She said, "As soon as this service is over, I'm going to the emergency room." She said, "I'm in pain right now." And I said, "I'm going to go to church and give that guy one shot at me." Hallelujah. I didn't know I was under pressure. I just kicking back enjoying the service. I didn't know, my God, the clock was ticking on me. And I said, "Well, get ready. God's fixed to touch you." And I laid my hand on her head. And when I touched her head, I mean, she took off running. And I said, "Look at there. That little lady's running." But she ran out the door, disappeared. I said, "Well, glory." I told everybody in the building, "I don't know what happened. I hope something worked. But she's gone." I said, "Somebody go out there and see if you can see her." And they came back and said, "Her car's peeling out right now. She's peeling rubber out there in the parking lot." I said, "Well, glory." The next night before church, she knocked on the evangelist's quarters. I opened the door. Here's that cute little black lady, about 58, 59 years old. And she's got a big old pie in her hand. She said, "This is for you, Brother Winslow." I said, "Well, glory to God." She said, "You'll have one every day you're here." I said, "My ministry's going to get big. I feel like God's blessing my ministry. It's going to get huge. I'm fixing to have a huge ministry." She said, "You'll get one every day, whether you eat them or not." She said, "What kind do you like?" I said, "I love pie. That's my favorite one." She said, "Well, you'll get one." She said, "This one's a cherry." I said, "Whoo, glory." She got ready to walk off, go to the auditorium. I said, "Wait a minute, I want to know where you went." She said, "Well, you know, you prayed for me, right?" I said, "Yes." She said, "I hadn't been to the bathroom in a long time. And when that tumor disappeared, whoo," she said, "I had to go bad." She said, "I want you to know I barely made it to my aunt's house. She just lives around the block." She said, "I was singing and shouting and praising God on the commode. I was praising God, hallelujah. and magnifying the Lord. Well, I'm going to tell you, if you had a tumor blocking up your intestines and God healed you and you could go to the bathroom, you'd talk in tongues and you'd worship God right there in that bathroom. Don't tell me my God's not stronger and more powerful than any cancer. He's a cancer healer. He's a cancer healer. He's a cancer healer. I've seen them be seated. I've seen them fall off people's faces. I was in one service one night. There was a woman had a tumor in her throat. And I covered it up with my handkerchief and I wrapped my handkerchief over it. I said, don't anybody look at it. I said, I want you to swallow three times in the name of Jesus. And I said, by the time you swallow that third time, that garter, you're going to swallow it down and it's going to be gone. She swallowed three times. I pulled that handkerchief off and it was completely gone. I'm not the only one's ever seen stuff like that. I'm just telling you the kind of God that I'm serving, the dominion of God, the power of God. It don't change. If God don't do one thing tonight, it's not going to change your testimony. It's not going to change that you got healed. It's not going to change that God filled you with the Holy Ghost. It was just a few weeks ago. I was in a service. There was a man sitting in the very back there. God told me, said, pray for him right now. I'm going to heal him. I stopped my preaching. I said, sir, God told me to pray for you. And before he got up and came out there, I said, it's something to do with your right leg. And God's going to heal that right leg. I'm not making this up. True story. And when he came out, I could see that one of his heels was 5 inches longer than built up higher than the other one. He had a short leg. His right leg was 5 inches shorter than his left leg. He stood right in the center of that aisle with his hands lifted up. And as God began to touch him, he began to go like this to one side. As that leg, that foot, that leg grew out and that heel became too big, it pushed him over to one side. He took his shoes off, stood flat-footed right there in the center aisle, and both legs was exactly the same. That's not Brother Winslow. That's the God that you're serving. You say, oh my God, if you let me see some of that tonight, I'll believe. That's not how God works. He doesn't work. He lets you see it, then you believe it. He says, I'm God. I want you to believe it. I'm God. There's nobody before me, and there's nobody after me, and there's nobody like me. I tell you what's going on in Pentecost. We're preaching the problem and we're not preaching the miracle. We're preaching the doubt and not preaching the faith. We're binding the gifts, kicking the gifts out instead of releasing the supernatural. But God said, this church is different. There's something spoken over this church. There's a destiny this church has that's unlike any other church. There's something sowed into this church that God's going to activate it tonight and make it come alive. Now don't try to hoard it tonight. Don't leave out of here and say, we got it, nobody else can have it. Lightning's going to come down and fry your toenails. Because it don't just belong to you. But it can start happening in this church. And God can start filling this auditorium up because of his presence and the supernatural. Now you mark it down. I don't know when it's going to happen. But all these guys that are shortchanging God and cutting God out, trying to have church and they know better. God's fixing to shut that stuff down. He's not going to let that continue on like it is. He's looking for a church that believes the word of God, that believes in consecration, dedication, that believes in worship and praise. I just wonder if I'm at the right place tonight. I just wonder if there's anybody in this building that believes in the supernaturalness of God. You keep worshiping and something's going to break out in this place tonight. I'll make you the head, not the tail. You're not a stepchild. You're not the devil's board to be kicking on. You're not the carpet of the devil. You're not the bag the devil's beating on. It's over. It's finished. That binding force, that demon, that devil of hell that's had your mind tormented, it's over. It's finished. It's done. Before there was ever Azusa Street, there was a hot revival in the streets of Houston, Texas. They can write all about Azusa they want to write about. They can talk about Seymour all they want to talk about. They can talk about the streets of Los Angeles and the great Azusa revival. But before a fire of God ever fell in Los Angeles, it was falling in Houston, Texas. And Houston is the city of birthing of the supernatural. And I feel the anointing of Sarah. She's about to conceive. She might be old. She might be well past her birthing years. But God's about to overshadow Sarah. And Abraham and Sarah's about to get together. And God's about to bring conception back into Houston. Right here. Right here at the epicenter. Right here at the place where it's about to break loose. I want everybody to stand. We're not over. I want everybody to stand. I want you to lift your hands up. And I want you to make a joyful noise unto God. And I want you to feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost running up and down your spine. I want you to feel the anointing of faith breaking loose inside your spirit right now in the name of Jesus. I want every demon, every devil that's binding your children, your family, your house, your health to feel the vibrating force of a soon coming revival. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They shall speak with new tongues. Be seated. God said things will happen in supernatural order. Then the Lord began to show me a few years ago the two kinds of faith. He said there's two kinds of faith. There's the faith of fruit. Not the fruity faith, but the faith of fruit. Some of you think that faith is fruity. Man, that dude is fruity. He's crazy. He talks about all this stuff as if it is, like it's going to happen. Oh, that faith is fruity. No, it's the faith of fruit. There's, according to Galatians 5, there's faith is a fruit of the Spirit. And it's repeated in the gifts. It is the only thing repeated. There's a faith that's in the fruit. There's a faith that's in the gift. So two kinds of faith there is. There's the faith that grows. That's fruit. Fruit grows. You don't plant a seed. Pa-boom, and there it is. It's a full-grown apple tomorrow. It grows. And that's the way your faith grows. Romans 12:3 says, unto every man's given the measure of faith. Faith is like a muscle. You have to use it. The more you use it, the stronger your muscle gets. You get to a place you haven't been using your faith, and your muscle faith is going to get smaller. But you start exercising your faith. You start believing again. You start challenging sickness, challenging poverty, challenging the rudeness and the coldness of demon spirits. And all of a sudden your faith starts getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And it starts breaking out and ripping shirts and becomes so powerful it can't be bound. It starts demanding answers in the supernatural. But then there's the gift of faith, and that gift comes, just shows up. You don't earn it. You don't develop it. It's not the fruit faith. It's not developed. You don't muscle up. You don't do reps. You don't start believing today and believe again tomorrow and the next day and just keep walking by faith. The next thing you know, a couple years down the road, you've got tremendous faith. It's instantaneous. Faith. It just shows up and it's God's faith. There's your faith and there's God's faith. And your faith changes from day to day, but God's faith never changes. I was preaching revival and there was a church came open in Chicago. This was a few years ago. The church came open in Chicago, Illinois. And that's where some of my relatives are from. And I kind of got in my mind, I want to go up there and pastor a church in Chicago. And so I fasted 3 days and I put my best supernatural suit on. And I took 3 days of seeking God and just praying and just really spending a lot of time in the altar. And then I was going to pop it on God and tell him, Lord, there's a church up there. If you'll just speak it, I can get it. All you got to do is just say it's done and it will come to pass one way or another. And so I took 3 days getting ready. And then I went into prayer on that fourth morning and I said, God, there's this church in Chicago. And if I got up there and you was to open that door for me, there's millions of people over there and I could operate in faith every day of my life and never travel another day. I wouldn't have to go from one place to another. I could be right there and there's millions up there and I could minister to every one of them. And I said, boy, it sounds like a good idea. What do you think, Lord? And here's was the answer. He said, you're not evangelizing right. I want to show you how to do it better. He completely ignored it and just said, I want to show you how to walk in the Spirit better than you're walking and do it better than you've ever done it. It was in that morning that I was praying. First, I was weeping because I wasn't going to Chicago. But finally, that moved over into the weeping of the supernatural, a breaking of my spirit. First, my heart was broke, but then I finally recognized, you know, I better hush up before a fireball comes out of nowhere. Singes what little bit I got left around here. And so I just started saying, well, God, whatever you want to do, just show me how to do it. What do you want? How do you want me to walk and what do you want me to do? And he said, I want to show you the four levels of faith and I want you to start walking in those four levels every time you walk in the house of God. Four levels. I said, I've never heard of them. He said, well, dummy, you're fixing to hear them. If I can get you to be quiet and listen, I'm going to tell you about four levels. When I speak these to you, you'll start working in them. And you're going to start tonight. He said the first level is Romans 12:3, the level of the measure. It was at that moment that I got the revelation. Probably your pastor already had that revelation. But that's when I got the revelation that faith is not a measure, it's the measure. And I didn't know that. Because many times I'd say, a measure, Romans 12:3. Everybody's been given a measure. Because I saw everybody's faith different levels. But it was there that God spoke to me about the measure. He said, I give everybody the same. Everybody that's born in this world has the measure of faith. You can read it later and see it doesn't say a measure. And don't go run up and be a smart aleck because God showed you something tonight. And you hear a preacher get up and talk about a measure. And go up there and show him, look here, it's the measure. The only reason you know it's because I told you it. So don't go run and show yourself off. But you'll hear them, they'll misquote it. All the time. It's the measure. Meaning everybody gets the same measure when you come into this world. But when you use your faith, you change your faith. That's why trials are nothing but gifts from God. That's why when God doesn't do it right away, it's nothing but a gift. To produce more faith. That when everybody else says, well, I guess you're not going to get it. You get home and you say, no, God, you're a God of your word. I refuse to doubt. It's going to be done in Jesus' name. And you start letting your faith grow. And that second level of faith is called the developing faith. The second level is when you develop your faith, you use your faith, and you create more faith through usage. Everybody wanted the faith back before Sister Freeman passed away. Good friends of my wife. I don't know if she liked me, but she loved Sister Winslow. And they went places together. She was with her on the last trip to Africa. And the very last one before she passed away. And everybody wants the faith of Sister Freeman. Everybody wants the faith of pastor. Everybody wants the faith of T.W. Barnes, but no one wants the trials of Sister Freeman. They read the book and they hear about the miracles, but they skip over all the dark nights of prayer and faith and fighting demons and devils and witches outside the house. But that's faith developing stuff. And you need tonight to say to yourself, I'll never fear another devil ever again. I'll never fear another sickness. I'll never fear poverty ever again. I'm not going to let the devil run me ragged and fearful that my bills will never be paid. When the job starts looking like it's going to play out, I'm not going to follow that game of doubt and fear anymore. You watch what happens. I'm telling you right now, things will start happening in your life because you won't let fear guide you. You'll let faith operate in your life. And God said that developing faith is the next level. You use your faith and your faith develops. The third level is the gift of faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says one of the nine gifts of the Spirit is faith. It's just simply what it says. It's a gift from God. That night I was in that service. I had those four levels of faith. I had the measure, the developing faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the gift of faith. And the fourth one, the final one, the relationship faith. And I had all those that God had spoke to me about. So I'm in that service that night, I'm preaching. And the Lord said, get ready now, here comes the gift of faith. And you're fixing to start recognizing it. From now on out, you'll recognize the gift of faith when it comes into a building. He said, when my faith shows up, that's a time to grab those that are really sick. That's a time to start believing when the gift of faith shows up. I said, well, how will I know it? He said, you'll know it. He said, it's going to show up tonight, and you're going to identify it tonight. So I'm preaching along, and the Lord speaks to me and says, that woman sitting in the very back of the church back there, I want you to pray for her. I'm going to heal her. I said, that one, God? You don't know this, but preachers actually can think while they're preaching. I know y'all don't think that. Sometimes they're thinking, I wish they'd get off that phone. I wish they quit looking at their watch. When will they ever get that booger out of their nose? I mean, my God. I mean, you'd be surprised what we can actually think while we're preaching, while we're anointed by God, while we're being used by the Lord. And the Lord says, I want you to pray for this woman back there. And I said, Lord, that woman? I said, Lord, she barely make it in the building. She can't walk. Two of those kids, whoever they are, helped her get in the building. I said, can't we start with somebody else? Isn't there a migraine headache somewhere around here that needs a miracle? He said, no. She's gonna get healed. She's coming out of that wheelchair tonight. I said, all right. And so I walked back there, and God said, go back there, get ready to pray for her. Now, I'm looking at her, and I'm saying to myself, now, my, I can tell this woman hadn't walked in a while. This is not like someone's been in a wheelchair for a couple of years. This is really a serious thing, and that's the way I was looking at it, because I was operating in my developed faith. And then the Lord just all of a sudden, the whole thing changed. And I looked at her and I said, I ought to just grab her right now and jerk her out of there. I went, whoa, what in the world? Where did that come from? And then part of me said, go ahead and grab her, and she falls on the ground, you're finished. Well, then another part of me said, grab her up right now, she won't hit the ground. She'll start walking. And then all of a sudden I got scared. Which one's going to win? My God. This one that wants to grab everybody and jerk them up. And the Lord said, that's my faith that's arrived. And you're operating in my faith. And when my faith is in the building, nothing looks hard. He said, from now on, whenever you start thinking about something and it gets easy and it seems possible, it's because my gift is in the building. And you definitely want to respond when my gift is operating. How many times have you went to church and your situation got possible because of the presence of God, and you just sat there idly? You didn't believe. You didn't launch out. You didn't grab faith. And when you left, you got back in your car and you got all whipped back down again. Yeah, that was the gift of faith. So I walk up to this lady and I go, "Sister," this is how I'm talking, the gift of faith. I'm going, "Sister." Yeah, I mean, that's the way you act when the gift of faith. "Sister, you're fixing to walk." You're different, you know what I'm saying? You don't try to be like that. You're in your mind, you're thinking, you're like this. "Look, sister, you're fixing to walk." But your face, really, because they've told me after church, "My God." All of a sudden you went, and your eyes came out. My wife says, "I can always tell something happened." God, I said, "Sister, get ready. You're fixing to walk." She says, I hadn't walked in 11 years. I said, "So what? What does that mean?" My God. My wife said, "My Lord. God, acid is preaching tonight." I said, "So what? God can do anything. You're getting out of that chair and you're walking." She said, "I can't do it. The doctor said." I said, "So what?" I couldn't believe I was acting like that. The gift of faith, boldness, power, authority. That's the way you need to do the devil tonight. You need to get on the devil's case and say, "You have bugged me. You have bound me. You have cursed me long enough. I will not be held back anymore. I'm going to walk in power. I'm going to walk in the supernatural. I'll run these aisles. I'll dance in the spirit. I'll talk in tongues." Y'all don't realize, I'm telling you right now, if you knew what was heading to this building tonight, you'd blow up right now. If you knew the future of this church, if you knew the prophetic word of God that was coming out over this building, you'd throw a party tonight. Man, I'm feeling it tonight. I'm feeling the supernatural all over this house. I know it's getting late. I know it. I'm trying not to think about it. I look at that clock and I want to stop, but something in me says, ignore it. Ignore it for one night. Just for one night, be an apostolic. For one night, don't worry about it. Own the clock. Don't let the clock own you. Start owning the clock. Be seated. True story, I'm not making this up. I said, "You're getting out of that wheelchair and you're walking in the name of Jesus tonight." She said, "But I can't do it." I said, "Yes, you can." I said, "Matter of fact, you're fixing to stand up right now, and these girls are not helping you anymore. These are my grandkids and they've got to help me. You don't understand what Dr. Brown told me." I said, "You don't get it. Dr. Jesus is telling me something. I'm actually talking to this sweet woman." I apologize if church, but I'm talking to this woman like this. And I said, "You are going to stand up tonight and nobody's going to help you now." "I can't do it. I haven't walked in 11 years. I haven't stood in 3 years by myself. I can't do it." I said, "No, you can't, but God can do it. And that's how you're going to do it. You're not going to do it on your own. You're going to do it through Jesus." She said, "I'm telling you right now, I'll fall on my face." I said, "No, you won't. You will not fall. I rebuke that thought right now. You're not falling." She said, "Huh?" She starts crying. I said, "Stop that crying now. How can you walk?" I'm telling you, but I was so far in this now, if she didn't walk, I was finished. I'd have to get licensed with a Baptist church. I'm telling you right now, I was finished. I said, you are going to walk. I said, I'm going to say the name of Jesus. I'm going to speak the name of Jesus over you. I'm going to turn my back. I am tired of arguing with you. For 15 minutes, I've been trying to say yes to you. You're the one ought to be telling me that you can walk. I said, my God, you're the one that needs the healing. I said, now I'm going to turn my back. I'm not going to even look at you. I'm going to say, in the name of Jesus, and you're going to stand up all by yourself. She said, I said, don't say it. Don't you say it. I looked at her and I said, who's Mary? She said, that's me. I said, God just spoke your name to me. I said, are you a Catholic? She said, yes. I said, well, that's fixed to be over too. What? I said, you're fixed to become an apostolic. I am? I said, yes. When you start walking and you go back, tell them what God did, it's going to be different. I said, now turn my back. I said, in the name of Jesus, Mary, who used to be a Catholic, stand on your feet in Jesus' name right now. I didn't turn and look at her, but I knew she stood up because everybody in that building started praising God. Don't you know how awesome it is to be in a church of miracles? It's worth fighting this fight tonight. It's worth gouging and kicking and believing and struggling to get it. I know you're excited, but you're not really believing what I'm telling you. I'm telling you, things are not going back to normal like you think they are. God is fixing to resurrect an army up out of that dead, dry, bony place. It's not going to be somebody else. It's going to be you. Some of you came to this service and you're walking out of here in the army of God, anointed by God with weapons of the supernatural in your arsenal. This old day of having revival every now and then's over. We're going to walk in a perpetual move of the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody agree with me right now. Okay, be seated. I've got to hurry up. Oh, they turned the stupid clock off now. Now it's just black up there. I could be anywhere in a few minutes. She got up, stood up. I turned and looked at her. And God said, this is what I want you to say. I said, God, are you for real? Really? Really, you want me to say that? He said, if you'll say it, she'll walk. I guarantee it. I said, yeah, if I say it, she will walk, trying to get to me. He said, say it. I looked at her and I said, Mary, who used to be a Catholic, you're a liar. I went, you know, she almost walked. And her grandkids got mad too. I said, now, Lord, about how far off is this miracle? I think I got about 3 minutes. She said, what did you say? You're a liar. You said you couldn't stand. But you're standing. That's a lie, ain't it? Not really. I'm 63 years old. You can't tell somebody that old. They're liars. I said, but you said you couldn't and you did. I said, guess what? You said you couldn't walk, but you can. You said you couldn't stand, but you did. And you said you can't walk, but you're going to. I turned my back. I said, in the name of Jesus, Mary, start walking right now. And all of a sudden that place rose up and they started crying out. In a few minutes, Mary come walking by me down to the front of the building. I heard somebody whispering over there, she's kind of walking stiff-legged. I want to go. My God, she hadn't walked in 11 years. Just because she's walking a little bit funny. But in a few minutes, God took care of it. She she started walking around. In a few minutes, her legs got limbered up, and she started dancing around and lifted her hands up and was speaking other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Either we believe it or we don't. There's no in between. She walked down the front, and I mean, they were having a big old time. I said, "Dear Lord, I'm sweating down. My Lord, I never worked so hard for a miracle in my life." And the Lord didn't tell me this. I just did it. God really didn't like it, but I did it. I looked, I said, "Mary!" I was a little, you know, I said, "Mary!" Finally got her attention. I ran, jumped in the wheelchair, and I said, "Come on, you're going to push me around this church. People have been pushing you for 11 years. She got behind me. And somehow, I don't know, the people loved it. I said, "Let's go, Mary, push!" And I heard her grunt. And pretty soon, I mean, we had gone 3 or 4 foot, and she was, I stuck my microphone up. "Come on, Mary, praise the Lord!" We got down the front, and I stuck the microphone back up. "Give the Lord some praise, Mary, you just pushed me down the aisle." She went, "You had the brake on." I don't care if the devil's got the brake on. I don't care if demons don't like it. I don't care if Dr. Popsicle don't like it. This thing is going to walk. It's going to move. It's going to operate in faith. It's going to move in the Holy Ghost. Come on, give God some crazy praise. Come on, give God some crazy praise right now. Come on, musicians. I need our musicians to get on the platform. Hurry. Come on, everybody. Right now's the time to praise. Right now's the time to put your faith to work. Right now's time to run down out. It's time to get rid of stinking thinking right now. I'm going to praise him. 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 I'm going to dance. I'm going to praise. I'm going to worship. I'm going to talk in tongues. I'm going to walk in this revival. Come on, we're not going to stop for 5 minutes. We're going to praise. Come on, young folks. I need some praise warriors. You're finished, devil. You're finished. I'm telling you right now, some of the most difficult trials are about to be beat down and defeated. Some of the most difficult sicknesses and illnesses are about to be sent packing tonight right now. There's a couple of cases of Alzheimer's that's about to get healed tonight. There's some crippling that's about to get uncrippled tonight. In this church, there's some young people about to get a call from God tonight, an anointed call of God. I don't believe you're just called to preach. I believe you're called to the supernatural. I believe there's a day, a night that God's voice reaches out to you and speaks to you and opens up the curtains and lets you see the glory, lets you walk in the supernatural the rest of your life. I believe that's about to happen tonight. Somebody's about to get a visit from the Lord tonight. Now watch this. I'm not going to ask you to go back because we can't go back. God just told me right now there's no need going back because you can't get them. You can't make them go back now. They're fixing to trample you. They're fixing to touch the hem of the garment of God. He said they're going to run over you. So don't try to put them back in their pews now. It's over. Now watch this. The Lord is sitting on the throne, and in his hand is a book. And in that book are things written on the inside, things written on the outside. And it's got 7 seals around that book. And that book in his hand is the title deed of the earth. It is the legal document that the earth belongs to God and that he's coming back in the book of Revelation 19, and putting his feet down on earth. And he is going to say, "This belongs to me." And those men and elders were weeping, crying for the Lord to open the book up to declare that this is what belongs to God. And the Lord said, tonight, I'm going to open up a book and I'm going to reveal the glory and the power and the majesty of my church. And I'm going to declare that Houston belongs to you. And I'm going to give you authority over every spirit in the city of Houston. And at one time, this church walked in dominion. Nobody told me this. God told me this. This church walked in dominion and power and authority, and financial miracles flowed in this church, and they're going to start flowing again tonight. And miracles of healings were happening all the time all over this city. And God said, they're starting back up tonight. Oh my God, I'm telling you right now, the Holy Ghost so strong. The Holy Ghost so strong on me right now. It's been weeks since I felt what I'm feeling tonight in this service tonight. It's been weeks since my faith has just run rampant, crazy like it's running right now. God's fixed to speak a word of prophecy over this service. And when he does, he's going to open up the supernatural to everybody that's under the sound of my voice, everybody that obeys what I ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to do something in just a few minutes. And if you'll do it, God is going to anoint you. He's going to appoint you to the miraculous. He's going to let you start hearing the voice of God. There's four levels of the voice of God. There's the written word of God. There's your conscience. There's the man of God. And there's the voice of the Spirit of God. And God's fixed to open those things up for you so you can be led by the Spirit. So you can hear the voice of God. A preacher can't be everywhere. He's not omnipresent, but God can be everywhere. And in the hand of the Lord in chapter 5 was a book written on the inside, the outside with seven seals. Israel was given land, and that land still belongs to them this day. And when the millennial comes, they'll rule and reign in the regions that their tribe was given that land. And they were given a title deed. And the title deed was written on the inside. And the outside was rolled up in a scroll. It had seven seals on it. Any book with seven seals meant there had to be a dignitary to unleash it. Not anybody could open that book up. And God said, the anointing that's about to fall on this church, Brother Winslow can't give it to you. Pastor can't give it to you. No bishop, nor deacon, nor superintendent can give it to you. But God said, I can open that seal book and I can pour the contents of that book out. God's about to do it tonight, right now. Now, I want just those that are the hungriest to push past everybody else and get as close to the front as you could get. The closer you are to the front of this altar, the more powerful this anointing of God is going to fall. If you end up in the back of the line and you want to get to the front, just start pushing. Have you ever seen a puppy push? You ever seen a 13th puppy push? He pushes his way in there, gets up in there, and the more hungry you are, the more powerful that God is going to work in your life and stretch and get as close to the front as you can get right now, because the supernatural is fixing to fall all over this place. I told the pastor's wife that God had a word for her tonight. I'll be praying for her. God's going to heal several things in her body tonight. One thing, I don't know if she even knows this or not, but God's going to touch her thyroid. She's been having some thyroid issues, and God's fixed to heal your thyroid tonight. Your metabolism's messed up. God's going to heal your metabolism. You've got some blood work problems in your body, and God's going to heal that blood work. You need some replacements in some of your joints, and God's going to replace some of those things. You've got two places in your back there that's messed up, and God's going to heal it up in the name of Jesus. In a few minutes, that lower part of your back's going to feel a warm sensation going into your back. You've got several gifts of the Spirit that God used you in, and God's going to activate those gifts tonight. And there's no devil going to tell you to shut up. There's no saint of God's going to hush you up tonight. The anointing of God's coming over you. And God said, I gave you promises about your kids, and I haven't forgotten them, and I'm going to anoint those promises tonight, and the power of my Spirit is falling on every one of your family. Come on, let's praise our God together right now in the name of Jesus. In just a minute, God's going to be touching our sister in more ways than what I just said right now. Now, if you're expecting, this thing got so much bigger than I am tonight. I can't go backwards. I can't go one-on-one. I can't pull us back. If I pulled back right now and started praying for people, But I am going to point at a few people, and I got to see some things right now just appearing right now over people's head over here. This lady right here needs a major healing. She needs a dire healing in her body right now. And if she doesn't get healed tonight, it's going to shorten her life. And God wants to heal her tonight right now in the name of Jesus. If I was to tell you that God's going to change your blood count, and within hours, your blood count's going to be completely changed. If I was to tell you that God's fixing to give you a blood transfusion, and your blood's fixing to change. And the next time you go into the doctor and they run tests on you, they're going to be amazed at your body and what God's been doing. And God said, until you get ready, I'm going to heal every tendon in your body, every tendon in your body that's messed up. God said, every arthritic condition, your body's getting a visit from God tonight. God's fixed to touch you and visit you. He's adding years to your life. You're not just about finished. It's not coming to the end. You're just now warming up. God's fixed to anoint you. He's fixed to touch a member in your family that has a heart issue. There's something going on with somebody's heart, and he wants to heal that heart, touch the chambers of that heart, and touch the valves of that heart. In Jesus' name, there's several people going to get a miracle concerning your heart, cholesterol. There's a lady in this church that has swelling in her body, and when it does, it comes around your heart, squeezes your heart, and your heart gets erratic, and God wants to heal that right now. Now, I could just go off in this, but this is not really what we're supposed to be right now. It's just, I'm letting this speak to me. The gifts are so powerful, they draw you like a magnet. And once you start seeing and talking about them, it'll suck you right in. But what God's fixed to do right now, this lady right here, I'm going to lay my hand on you. I'm glad you got up front, but I'm going to lay my hand on you. And God said, you're fixed to start understanding things in the supernatural you never understood. There's things in the Bible that you're going to start understanding. Matter of fact, tomorrow when you read the Word of God, things are going to start leaping out to you, and you're going to start understanding things. There's a word written over your head. The word is consecration, and you're going to start consecrating through covenants. God's going to start making covenants with you, and that covenant is going to heal somebody that's having a mental breakdown right now. And God's fixing to touch them. There's a person that's usurping authority over one of your loved ones, and is dragging that loved one into a dark pit. And God said tonight, I'm going to break that spirit that person has over your loved one right now. And God said, they'll have no authority over your family anymore. God said, I'm bringing your kids out, your family out. I'm setting them free. I'm healing marriages right now tonight. There's an old spiritual wound you've got in your heart. You were wounded by somebody and you never recovered. And tonight you'll walk out of this building and you won't have one scar in your spirit. You'll be completely healed tonight and you'll walk in the supernatural. Everybody stretch your hand toward this woman. There's somebody whose name starts with a P. I see a P right here. And there's somebody whose name starts with a P. And God said, I'm going to visit. Watch this. I'm going to barely touch her in the name of Jesus. There it is. In Jesus' name, it's done. Hallelujah. Woo! I wish somebody would give the Lord the praise right now in Jesus' name. All right, watch this. Now listen. If you're expecting me tonight to just call people out like I usually do, this just—I just don't know what's going to happen after this. Now, after this, we might do it, but you better act right now. If you're going to stand there and say, "I'm going to wait for Brother Winslow to come and confirm this to me," you're going to miss it. You're going to miss this. Now, next Sunday, there's no telling. I might call people till you're sick and tired of it. You might be looking for this service then. Too late. You had your chance tonight. Some of you just, "Oh, it's going." We want to see the supernatural work. The supernatural is working. You think God's got to have a person all the time? Some of the greatest miracles ever happened in my ministry happened around the altar. Did God just speak it? Would you be surprised if I told you God's fixed to open up three people's ears tonight? Three ears that are stopped up are fixed to open up tonight in Jesus' name. Would you believe that tonight? God could do it. Hallelujah. He's done it many times. I know he can do it tonight right now in the name of Jesus. If I don't get to you, you're all packed in here, so I can't get out here to everybody. We'd be rubbing all over, it'd be unholy. I can't get out there where you're at, so the thing we got to do is when you get through praying, you feel it, you turn, you lay hands on somebody, and you let God use you. But God's fixed to turn this around. God's fixed to send a word of prophecy out over everybody in this building right now, Jesus. Now watch this. This is what the Lord told me to tell you tonight. You are going to get it back. Now, some of you young people, I don't expect you to go, wow, because you're so young, you haven't lost anything yet. But if you've lived very long, you've lost something. And God said, tonight, you're getting it back. People in this church that's battling a mental battle, and you're losing your mind, and you're going to walk out of this place, your mind's going to be completely whole. You're not going to think the thoughts you've been thinking. Your mind's going to be crystal clear. God's going to anoint you and give your mind back tonight. There's several people that need a miracle of healing to get back your legs, your feet, get back your strength, get back your health. I want everybody here that needs a healing, say, I want my health back tonight. Somebody say, I'm going to get it back, Brother Winslow. The Lord said, this earth belongs to me, and I'm going to get it back. And he had it in a book, and he opened that book up, and when he spoke those things out of that book, he said, I'm coming to get it back, devil. And he came back in Revelation 19, put his feet down, and he's going to regain this earth. 1 Samuel chapter 30 talks about a man by the name of David who was fighting battles with an enemy called the Amalekites. Amalekites, Philistines, Hittites, Jebusites are all descendants of all those people that's gathered around Israel. Now, the Lord told me not very long ago, I was praying about the administration and the senators, Republicans, our president turned their back on Israel. And the Lord spoke to me and said, don't worry. He said, I will never let a president or anybody in the House or the Senate go against Israel. He said, America is a protector of Israel. That's what God told me. He said, there are two things that I've blessed America with, finances to send the gospel out. The quickest way to get blessed is support your pastor. You start holding back tithes from this church, you're going to curse your house. You support this ministry, you support this man of God and evangelist, but you support the... I almost forgot about me. Hallelujah. Woo. I'm telling you right now, and the United States is called of God to support Israel. And the Lord said, I will never let anybody stay in office that will ever turn its back on Israel. And you watch it in your lifetime before the Lord comes back. If any president completely turns their back, they won't be in office very long. God said it, I believe it. Because that's the reason. I don't care what Irvin Baxter says. It don't matter to me what Irvin Baxter says. America's not going down. America's anointed by God, and there's going to be victory in America, and there's going to be revival in America, and a church is going to get raptured out of America. Call names. I just got excited. Call a name out there. Hallelujah. Praise God, man. Whew, I might be in trouble tomorrow. It won't matter. They won't be able to find me. I'm going to Mississippi. You can't find people in Mississippi. We just disappear into the woods. Hallelujah. We don't come out to supper time. Get ready. David had an enemy called the Amalekites. And finally he said to his men, 600 of them, he said, we need to go get the Amalekites. They're battling us. They're fighting. They're coming against us. They got up on their horses and their camels, 1 Samuel 30, and they took off. And the Amalekites came back around to Ziklag, where David and all of his men's family and all their belongings and their food and everything was there. And the Bible says that the Amalekites came in and captured their wives and their children, took all their food, everything. Watch this. God's fixing to do this for this church tonight. I hope you're ready. Because this thing's coming to a big, powerful end just real soon. And so all of a sudden, they were out going after the Amalekites, and the Amalekites came back behind them and took their families and took them captive. And they looked back behind them, they saw the smoke coming from Ziklag. And David turned, and his men turned and said, Ziklag is burning. And they rode as quickly as they could to the camp. And when they came in there, there was no food. There was no kids. There was no wives. There was no belongings, no clothing or blankets or Everything was stolen. Everything was taken. And all they could see was a trail of where their families were being dragged out of the camp into slavery. And David did something he didn't do before that he should have done. And he stopped those men. He said, go tell Abiathar to come here. And Abiathar came. And David said, where's the ephod? And Abiathar went and got the ephod. You see what I'm saying? Apostolics have left the ephod. They're not wearing the ephod. And the ephod had the 12 stones that represented the 12 tribes of Israel. That meant the names of the tribes of inheritance was upon the heart. That's the supernatural. You are to inherit miracles and healing and miracles and revival. That's our inheritance. And we've come tonight to get it. For miracles to be released in this church and in Houston, Texas. There's so much God's told me about Houston and what I'm going to do in Houston. And I'm telling you, I'm seeing it all begin to happen. This is as much I'm going to tell you tonight, because you're going to have to go home and swallow this. And get this on your heart and mind and come back believing God for a great breakthrough midweek service. So here comes Abiathar the priest. He's got the ephod on. And David walks up and slips his hand behind the ephod over the heart of the priest. And in it is a secret compartment. And there's a secret place in God that God lets us go if we become obedient. And that's where you're going. To the secret place of the supernatural, where things happen and people can't understand why it happens. It just happens here. And he put his hand inside there, and there were two stones in there. And he brought those stones out. And he said, God, is it your will for us to go and to get our family? And all of a sudden, the rocks began to shake and move and vibrate and started glowing. And that was a sign from God. The answer was yes. And he put the rocks back in there. He said, everybody get on your camel, get on your horses, and let's go get our families. Now watch this. Here's how. This is supernatural. It's going to blow your mind. I'm not going to go crazy about this. So they go out there, and there's the Amalekites, and they got their family as slaves and tied up and dragging them and tied them across camels and horses. And they catch up with them, and they go to fight them. And when they destroy the Amalekites, they don't lose one child. Unbelievable. Not one wife is dead. Not one loaf of bread, if you're Hispanic, not one tortilla. It's all there. They didn't lose anything. And God said, get ready, because my rocks of supernatural authority are glowing and shaking and moving tonight. And Abiathar has come with the ephod. And David has stuck his hand in the secret place. And God is saying, it's yours. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to move. I'm going to anoint you. I'm going to bring people. I'm going to draw them by my spirit. Get back supernatural. Now, if you walk out of this building and you get carnals of billy goat on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, and you don't take this serious. I don't mean you got to fast and your belly button falls off. But if you don't take this serious, you've got to take it serious. You've got to come back to this church. You've got to get up tomorrow and start walking in the faith of God and ask God to help you develop your faith. It'll start growing. I can only do so much, and the man of God can only do so much unless your faith starts moving. And so they captured their kids back and their wives, and they lost nothing, not one thing. 2:00 in the morning, God wakes me up. He speaks one word to me. I mean, I just wide awake, and God said, garage. I got up, went in my garage, and the thieves had broke open my garage door, had taken all my stuff and stacked it outside, out on the sidewalk by the road. And they were just minutes away from pulling up and taking all of my belongings, putting in a truck. But God had woke me up and said, you're getting it back. So I got my phone. I jumped down inside my stuff and I put it on camera. And here they come, creeping up with the lights out. They jumped out of the truck and they started grabbing my stuff. And I jumped up out of it. I said, aha! And I started, I started taking pictures. And these three monkeys were trying to get back in the truck, and they were pulling each other, almost pulling the bridges off, trying to get back in there. And the guy's going, "Erk, get in, Erk, get in, get in." And finally they jumped in there, but I'd already gotten their license plate. And I called the police, and they caught them down the road. I said, "Lord, thank you for waking me up. Thank you for speaking. Thank you for letting me know." And the Lord said, "I told you, you're getting back everything the enemy has tried to steal from you. You're getting it all back. I'll never let the devil steal anything from you." I'm telling this church something. You mark it down. You've been through hell. Hell has robbed you. Demons have stole from you. But God says tonight, it's enough. I've had enough. I'm about to anoint this place that you can get everything back the devil has stole from you. Get ready. You're getting your kids back. Get ready. You're going to get that love back in your marriage. Woo, man. I'm really getting nosy now. Hallelujah. I'm getting supernatural now. You're going to get love back in your marriage. I'm becoming the love doctor. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to be a doctor around here. And you get that love back. Well, let's move on. And so I just lifted my hands. Cops come and got me and said, "Come on down here, see if you can identify these guys." There they are. There's three of them. I don't know who that guy is. Maybe he was driving. The cop looked at me. I got in a squad car and he says, "Mr. Winslow, thank you for what you just did. But don't you ever do that again. That's crazy. You could have got shot." I said, "Boy, that's right. I could have, couldn't I?" He said, "But thank you so much for what you did." So I go home and I'm sitting in the living room drinking my coffee and thinking about what happened that night, how God stopped the devil from getting my stuff. And God began to talk to me about revival, supernatural power. And the Lord said, "You're going to get double for your trouble." That's what he told me. He said, "I'm going to put a double portion on your ministry. And every time you preach in a church, they're going to get a double portion of the anointing of God in their lives." And he said, "Double for your trouble." I said, "Double for my trouble." I repeated it. He said, "The law of Moses." I said, "The law of Moses." And I went, "I don't even know what that is." The law of Moses was, if you caught a thief stealing, you could get twice as much back. That was the law of Moses. If you caught the thief, from this night forward, a bell's going to ring and you're going to be on top of it and you're going to be in authority and God's going to use you and you're going to stop that devil from stealing things from you. How many's ready to get it back? Okay, here we go. Now, I don't know what to do with a service getting through this early. I really don't know what to do, but I have no vision past this next moment here. If there's something else for me to do, God's going to have to speak it to me. But this is it. God said, if you will explode in faith and give God the best praise you've got, if you will say out loud, "I want it back," if you will declare to God, "I'm going to get back everything the devil stole from me. I'm getting my health back. I'm getting my money back. I'm getting my family back." How many believe God can give your health back? I believe God can give this man his legs back. I believe God can uncripple this man tonight right up here. I believe God can heal high blood pressure. I believe God can repair knees and do knee replacement tonight. I believe God can give people a breakthrough in the Holy Ghost. You've been struggling. You haven't been where you need to be. I believe tonight you can leave this church prayed back up. Come on, let's praise Him for a few minutes before we interact with God. Come on, praise Him right now. Raise up your voice and start praising God. You're going to get it back. You're going to get it back. You're going to get it back. Everything you lost, everything the devil took away from you. God, can God do it, Brother Winslow? How many believe God can do anything? Tell your neighbor, God can do any miracle in this building. Tell somebody beside you, you're going to get your family back. Tell them right now. Tell them you're going to get your job back. They may have repossessed your car, but you're going to get one better. You mean that, Brother Winslow? I absolutely believe it. I'm not just saying it. I believe it tonight. There's 18 people in this church that God's about to rejuvenate the Holy Ghost in your life. This man is one of them right here. I'm going to lay hands on him in Jesus' name tonight. And God's going to fill you so full of his spirit tonight. When you walk out of this service, you're going to be intoxicated in the spirit. You're one of those 18 tonight that God is going to feel so full of the Holy Ghost that when you walk out of this building, it's going to be supernatural. All right, here we go. Here's what we need to do. Get ready. All I need you guys to do is just get with it. That's all. Just what, it don't even matter what you sing. As long as it's not some dead song. Just as long as it's got a little bit of yee-haw, woo, glory to God. And they're going to start playing. When they start playing, I want you to throw your hands up. And I want you to give God a shout three times of victory in the name of Jesus. I want you to act just like you would act if every one of the things that you have need of was to happen. I want you to give God miracle praise and worship God, and the power of God falls on you. Don't you hold it back. You let go. You're not going to hurt nobody. Praise God. If they go out to rock and roll concerts and mosh and jump out in crowds and all that kind of stuff, we can worship God in this building. Let God have his way. I want every altar worker, every preacher in this church, and anybody that will help me to get ready to lay hands on as many people as we can lay hands on in Jesus' name. Are you ready? One, two, three. In the name of Jesus, give God the best praise you can. I told you, I did not know anything past that moment. But when I turned to walk down here and start laying hands on people, God said, for 15 minutes, I'll let you lay hands on anybody that will come up these steps, walk down this way, and go down the other side. And the Lord said, for 15 minutes, everything you lay hands on is going to move in the Holy Ghost and